Hello, everybody. Chris Landry here with the latest whirl around in college football as we examine what would happen if student-athletes become employees. I'm sure you've heard of the recent ruling of the Dartmouth basketball team forming a union. The concerns about Caleb Williams coming out of USC as a pro prospect, got concerns about him. We'll get into that. And which college football coaches give you more bang for the buck at the FBS level? All of that we address in today's edition of the College Football Podcast. Also, a reminder, if you want more detailed breakdowns of the college game, the NFL game, head on over to LandryFootball.com and take advantage of our scouting season offer today. It'll get you the best information on the world of football, college football, NFL, not just this time of year, but all the way through next football season. The 12-month package is the scouting season offer, or you can try it out for a month or 6 months. If you like football, you love LandryFootball.com, and you get both the college and the NFL broken down, analyzed from a playing, coaching, scouting, front office perspective. So appreciate you joining us there. Also appreciate you joining us at the Landry Football Podcast Network. So subscribe, like, and share the Landry Football Podcast Network on Apple, on Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. What would happen if college athletes become employees? The NCAA is inching closer and closer every day to tipping point where we're going to have a dramatic overall tectonic shifts around college sports is the way I would classify it. In the past 3 months, federal judges have blocked the NCAA from enforcing rules barring the use of NIL deals and recruiting and rules that require multiple time transfers to sit out a year before competing. We've addressed this in previous podcasts. We've got other ongoing lawsuits taking aim at the organization and schools themselves for violating federal antitrust law by restricting athlete compensation. When you look at them one at a time and you don't know how many pieces need to be pulled out before the whole thing collapses, that's kind of where we are. It'd be if you look at multiple cases, it might be enough to knock down the NCAA as we know it. Either way, we're end up with all the pieces on the ground. The question is whether it happens one piece at a time or in all one fell swoop. To understand how many separate cases intersect, you got to look at this situation from every angle. From a legal decision to a new business model. I just referenced the Dartmouth Players unionization efforts could motivate other private schools and conferences with more diverse memberships than the all-private Ivy League to organize themselves. If an ongoing trial into an unfair labor practice charge in California confirms that USC, the Pac-12, and the NCAA should be considered joint employees of athletes, and we know that the Pac-12 is just two schools now, that could allow all athletes to unionize, regardless of the state they live in or the type of school they attend. A third case in federal appeals court, Johnson versus the NCAA, argues that college athletes should be treated like any other student workers on campus and should be entitled to hourly wages at or around the minimum wage. Each outcome could pave the way for a different business model. Some of the consequences would be simpler than others to digest. The notion that you can be both a student and employee is false. I think most attorneys would agree with that. You can take those and put them into the exact same system that you have for kids selling hot dogs or kid working in the library or the kid who works at the bookstore. It's as simple as that. You would literally treat the athletes the same way you treat other kids who work on campus. McDonald believes that, that when I say McDonald, I'm speaking of the attorney. That is Paul McDonald, the lead attorney in the Johnson versus Johnson case. He believes that the most complicated part of an employee-employee relationship is that athletes might need language in their employment contracts or at-will agreements that cover termination. McDonald would suggest opting that some of the language in the current NCAA rules preventing schools from reducing or revoking scholarships based entirely on athletes' athletic ability. There's no avoiding that if athletes don't live up to the terms of their contract, they could be fined or fired, much like their counterparts in professional sports. Those who work around major college sports understand that coaches push players to transfer or retire already. But employment would crystallize schools' ability to cut players, which may not sit well with all involved. their unintended consequences with any decision. In a conference or the NCAA, if a conference or an NCAA were deemed a joint employer as an unfair labor practice charge against USC, the Pac-12 and the NCAA contends that decisions would drastically broaden the scale of students permitted to unionize. If you remember, the Northwestern football team's 2015 bid to unionize was rejected by the NLRB because Northwestern was the only private school in the Big Ten competing against public schools over which the NLRB does not have jurisdiction. So the speed of those movements will depend on several factors: state-by-state differences in labor laws, and the fact that most conferences have a mix of public and private institutions. It could complicate matters, but the successful unionization of one group of employees can motivate others. If only private school athletes are allowed to organize, the NCAA would have a conundrum considering it has largely tried to treat all college athletes similarly. But every public comment made by NCAA President Charlie Baker over the past year indicates that any model involving employment won't be the organization's first choice. You see where we're going with it, right? How would a union work? And professional sports players' unions often lean on leadership of veterans who are secure in their standings. With college sports, where the player pool completely turns over every 4 to 5 years, struggle to unionize without that support is going to be difficult. Union members would also need to be willing to strike as a last resort, as a negotiating weapon. That's a weighty ask for college athletes who have a limited period of time to play and position themselves to advance to the pros. The closest thing to a strike that high-level college football has seen recently was in 2015 when a group of Missouri players sat out of team activities and said they were willing to miss a game in support of the student hunger strike. We're not going to see the same type of an effect. The players are in a different position, and their futures are a lot different, and striking could be very injurious to their future. Where would the money come from? If you looking at, there are a lot of people believe that everybody in college athletics is profiting off the back of student athletes. There's Jim Harbaugh mentioned this at the time of the national championship. The problem is that you have adults who simply want to keep paying themselves. We've been in a world where we've had free labor. They're making the money. Now, some experts believe that athletic departments would need to cut some sports in order to pay an athlete a salary. But decisions by Stanford, Clemson, and several other power conference schools to cut sports, citing pandemic-related financial struggles, were met with intense backlash from alums and fans. And many of the cuts were reversed. Making them employees is one of those ways of mandating appropriate compensation for athletes. The issue becomes if you're applying that to a university that has, let's say, 18 separate programs, which do not necessitate the same hundreds or millions of dollars or have the same level of interest, the same economics. If you have to pay athlete salaries commensurate with that, it will likely cause universities to look at programs with a much sharper eye. Well, I'm only going to fund 5 of these programs because I'm losing too much money. So we don't know how this is going to play out. Cutting sports is not the only option available to schools, but many other possibilities would require some outside entity to swoop into the market, be it private equity, basically a private equity fund, taking ownership, meaning taking a percentage of the TV revenue over a set period of time for in exchange for upfront money. A lot of things, as we've said over the weeks, that is concerning about where we're headed. But the past few years, in the past few months, and certainly the past few weeks, have proven nothing is off the table, and nothing is certain. There's a lot of belief that USC quarterback Caleb Williams is the best quarterback in the draft, and while I agree that the film shows that he every bit is as talented as people think, and he does have some of the qualities as a guy like Patrick Mahomes, the physical part is where the comparisons end for me. The best quarterbacks in the NFL, like Patrick Mahomes, are not only elitely talented, but they also have a good attitude. They're not selfish. Caleb Williams is extremely talented, but unlike Mahomes, he's not a team guy and is all about himself. And his talent is unlikely to overcome that unless he changes. There have been rumors about Caleb and his father, Carl, asking for this and that at the college level. that is part of the world we live in today. Some are unlikely, some are could be true with regard to what he's asking in the pro game. Just some of the goofy comments like, well, he was going to ask the Bears for a piece of ownership in the franchise if he was going to play with them. I think that is, of course, ridiculous, but would he seriously be willing to ask that to maybe to set the table for something that is obscene? That's the way it's been since this kid's been in high school. And that's not a horrible thing. Why shouldn't they try to monetize this brand? Have at it. We're in a new world. And we may look back on Williams as the first guy who brought revenue sharing to the quarterback position. But you have to be a certain kind of kid to pull this off. What type of kid? Likeable and self-effacing. You can be selfish but can't show it. And you have to be one of the guys. That's what makes Mahomes different. Williams has talent similar to Mahomes. His off-platform work, ability to extend the play, and downfield vision are amazing. Williams can do it all on the field, but generational talents need to be on team guys as well. That's why I think he's more Kyler Murray in terms of personality. Me first. People can blame Arizona, Cliff Kingsbury all they want, but we still have the body language discussions, the me first attitude, the arrogance level that is greater than his ability. Well, Caleb Williams is a better talent than Kyler Murray. And so I take Caleb Williams every day over Kyler Murray. But I still think you're going to get some of the off the field arrogance, me first, team, maybe not even second attitude. You got to be arrogant to play the position. That's fine. But you got to be a team guy. If I'm picking number one, I'm picking number two. Look, they've got some other options. I know this. Jaden Daniels is going to be an outstanding quarterback in the NFL. The floor is very high with him. The ceiling is pretty high, too. There is no chance that he's a bust. I think Caleb Williams might settle down and mature and might figure it out and might become a better teammate in the pros. That's what I'm hoping anyway. And if he does, he has the talent level to be absolutely elite, one of the best. But I'm going to tell you, the bust factor is there in droves. We just had this conversation this week, and we're going to talk about it on the NFL show about Russell Wilson and his entitlement and his arrogance and its lack of focus on the team and how it rubs people the wrong way. Now, again, Caleb Williams is more talented, infinitely more talented than Kyler Murray, who I've mentioned, and Russell Wilson. But I will tell you, it's a risky decision. And if you make a decision to take this guy and he becomes the selfish, entitled guy that he's always been, it's shame on you because he's shown you who he is. I don't know that he's going to be a successful quarterback in the NFL because of that reason. The talent notwithstanding, you have to understand it. I go back and remember begging Al Davis and Bruce Kaepernick of the Raiders to not take Jamarcus Russell. This was not a guy that was going to be a leader, and despite all his physical gifts, he was a bust waiting to happen. I hope I'm wrong about Caleb Williams. Which college coaches in the country have more bang for the buck? Think about this. We talk about the best coaches in the country. The concept of the idea of talking about looking at it this way is which FBS coaches? Let's design a criteria. The annual salary is a key component. Now, there are other factors, you know, how long they've been there and, you know, bonuses and stuff like that. I'm not talking about that, but which guys are doing an exceptional job relative to what they're getting paid? Matt Campbell of Iowa State, for example, $4 million, consistently winning, getting more out of that program than you can ever get. Jeff Brohm at Louisville, $5.1 million. He won at Purdue, at Western Kentucky, and now he's winning at Louisville. He's done great in the portal. $5.1 million is a lot of money. It's a bargain for what he's doing in the upper echelon at Louisville. What about Chris Klieman at Kansas State at $5 million? I mean, he is one of the elite coaches in the country, and he's very close to becoming one of those guys that's going to get the $9 million, $10 million a year contract at a bigger time school. He has been outstanding. I mean, he's never won less than 8 games for Kansas State. And prior to that, he won 4 SCS titles. This guy's special. Dan Lanning is getting paid $7 million at Oregon. That's really good money. This guy is a superstar. And if he had wanted to take the job at Alabama, that could have been worked out. You're talking about somebody that could be in the Kirby Smart $11, $12 million a year range. He is phenomenal. I think he's a bargain at $7 million. What about some other guys that may be a little bit off the radar? Barry Odom, really good coach at UNLV, $1.75 million. Again, not in the category of the Chris Klimans, the Jeff Broms, Dan Lannings, of course. But at $1.75 million, that's a really good deal. He'll do a good job at UNLV, and he'll bolt for a bigger job. Consistency, how about Dave Doran at NC State? $5 million a year. He checks most of the metrics. Just finished year 11 with North Carolina State. Consistency, stability, bowls. How about Jason Campbell at Toledo, $1.25 million? At or near the top of the MAC. Really surprised that he hasn't gotten a Power 5 job. I think that's coming. Impressive. Willie Fritz just got hired at Houston from Tulane. Unbelievable job. Still a value at $4.5 million. What about Jeff Traylor, Texas San Antonio? Coach for 4 years there. He's brought tremendous success. Interest, Houston and Texas were interested. $2.8 million, great bargain. No one does a better job. The ultimate developmental program in college football right now and has been for a while is Utah, headed by Kyle Whittingham. $5 million a year. He's phenomenal. Longevity, consistency, stability, nobody does it better. Tyson Helton, how about him at Western Kentucky? Phenomenal job. He's done a really good job. He's making $900,000. Rich Rodriguez, you know his background, doing a great job at Jacksonville State at $1 million. How about Chris Creighton at Eastern Michigan? $590,000. I think he's ready for a big-time payday at a bigger-time school. Alex Golish at South Florida, $2.5 million. Speaking of quick turnarounds, they don't get much quicker than Golish did at USF. Unbelievable. And then G.J. Kinney at Texas State, $1 million. Tremendous job. He'll be a Power 5 or Power 4 coach recently. So that'll be buyout money for them. Guys that are maybe under the radar in some cases, in other cases not, but getting great value, bang for the buck, so to speak, for what they do relative to what they get paid. Hey, appreciate you joining us. Join us next time as we break down the world of college football, as well as check out our NFL podcast as well.